Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Basketball Podcast on CBSSports.com. I am Adam Flango, joined by Joseph Pulido.
Yo.
And Christopher Towers.
I guess I go second.
Well, do you guys go by Christopher and Joseph? Does anybody call you Christopher and Joseph?
No. Never, ever.
Really?
Nobody.
Even
calls me Joseph.
Well, nobody calls me Joseph? No, that's weird. My confirmation name was Joseph.
Oh. Yeah. Cool.
Shout outs.
Do you get a different name for that?
You do. Weird. You have to pick your own name. Yeah.
I would go Spider-Man. 13-year-old
Adam thought Joseph was.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Saint Spider-Man.
There's not a Saint Spider-Man.
We'll have to check
be a saint?
I mean, he should be a saint.
Okay, then Batman. Yes.
He does pretty saintly things.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a fantasy basketball podcast, guys.
You know who is a saint, though? Anthony Bennett.
Okay, great. I didn't know which Anthony you were going to go with. Yes.
Yeah.
St. Anthony. It is. What?
I don't know my saints.
Stop saying names.
Luke Richard?
Yes. St. Luke Richard. So we're going to talk today about some news and notes happening around the NBA and whether or not Anthony Bennett is going to go to Philadelphia like the good Lord intended. But then we're going to also go through Chris Towers' rookie tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's up on the website right now.
Not yet.
Well, by the time you're listening, it's like five o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, people are not listening immediately after. Come on, Chris. Our podcasts are evergreen.
I thought it was live.
No, it isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Anyway, so let's start it off with Anthony Bennett, gentlemen. We did not get a very impactful season from Anthony Bennett this year.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, indeed.
You could tiptoe around that, yeah.
But he is... presumably, the trade's still not finalized.
No.
We still got a couple days.
They're making hypothetical trades on hypothetical trades.
Yes, next week will be the first time we'll actually be able to talk about this as an actual basketball trade. But anyway, Anthony Bennett not looking like he's going to Philadelphia like some had thought, but perhaps Luke Richard Mbamute and Alexei Shved could be headed there. So is there any interest?
Sixers really changing the tanking conversation.
Alexei Shved isn't terribly uninteresting, right? On the Sixers, he's who knows. They don't have. If Michael Carter Williams is going to dominate the ball, I guess, but nothing.
He'll get shots.
He is a basketball player.
Can he do anything good? I didn't watch any Alexei Shved this year.
I remember him
shot 32.1% from the field and 29.4% from three this year.
Well, he didn't play much, did he?
I mean, 600 minutes. He played 1,800 minutes his rookie season, shot 37% and 29.
So he can't shoot well, which is going to go really well in Philadelphia.
He did average 3.7 assists per game as a rookie to 1.9 turnovers in 23.9 minutes. That's not terrible.
Yeah, he's like a capable guard, but the problem is, I mean, they have a capable guard who can't shoot already.
And they have Tony Rutten, so.
Yeah,
and you can't really make the argument that moving away from... You know, moving toward a team that has a dominant guard is going to help him because it's not like he was asked to do a whole lot of ball handling. It wasn't like he was shooting off the dribble a ton.
No.
About Luke Mbamute?
No. Okay. He's just not a good offensive player. No. He just doesn't do anything.
Both of them are, like, kind of built to run, though. Like, I remember Shved throwing down some, like, surprisingly impressive dunks in the rookie sophomore game, I think, two years ago.
He's a shoot first guy. He might put up numbers if he gets a starting job in Philadelphia. It's obviously entirely hypothetical, which is kind of.
Would he outperform James Anderson?
Who are we talking about, Mbamute or Shved? Okay.
Overall, I think so. He's not going to give you like Anderson. At least gave you some 3-point shooting,
solid
and
threes.
Probably better scoring. I don't think Shved's going to do that, but. Shved actually can get other things besides points. That was the problem with Anderson. He was getting a decent amount of minutes, but he wasn't doing anything except scoring.
I think you guys are underrating the value of Luke Richard Mbamute.
Oh, are we?
If he gets on the team, he's the starting power forward, probably.
Good for him.
I'm just saying. Eventually, somebody's got to put up a little bit of something.
Technically true.
Technically. Okay. We've seen the Sixers create fantasy all-stars out of Evan Turner. Why not create a somewhat fantasy?
Because Evan Turner can actually, whatever you want to say about Evan Turner, he can actually score.
All right, I'm done defending the Sixers. Let's move to the next.
The problem with the Sixers is that it's going to be somebody. It's like you said, somebody's going to become that guy, and there's no way of knowing. Like, it could be anyone.
That's the beauty of the Sixers.
I, And really, we thought it could be anyone, but after those trades they made, after they lost Turner and Hawes, and was that it? So those are the only two players they lost last year.
Yes.
Nobody really stepped up. Like Henry Sims, I guess, but it wasn't like there was some, you know, amazing guard stepping in and filling the void.
It was just kind of...
It was pretty much Michael Carter-Williams, Tony Roden,
and a rotation of crap.
Yeah. It was never any... I mean, remember we were kind of thinking that Byron Mullins would get a shot in it, and it just... you can't predict what they're going to do.
So Eric Bledsoe, guys, still looking like it's going to be just, hey, you're going to eventually have to go back to the Suns.
It's very similar to Eric Gordon.
Yeah. And so... We wanted to go ahead and throw out some trade possibilities. So what did you guys come up with for trade? What would be a fun trade possibility for Eric?
I feel like the only one that makes sense is for Greg Monroe, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where else could he go? Where else does he fit?
I think the best thing for everybody would be him to just sign a contract with the Sixers. I get it that it doesn't fit into their timetable, except that Eric Bledsoe's a really good player, and it's not like he's old. Like, it's not like he would be 35 when New Orleans Noel's 25. He's a really good young player who's available. They're the only team that has cap space. It's not like people would be bidding against them. I wish they would do that. Like,
he recently had a medical procedure, so he's perfect for what they're trying to
build. They could probably shelve him for the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you twist your ankle, Eric? See ya. I'm sorry. We'll see you in 2015.
Go hang out with Joel Embiid.
I get it. I get that that's what they want to do. But shouldn't they get some NBA players at some point?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I don't want it. It's not like a moral thing, but they are kind of taking tanking too far. Like, I don't mind it. But this team really doesn't have any NBA players. Like, it has Michael Carter-Williams, who probably wouldn't start on any other team in the league, and Nerlens Noel, who we don't know anything about. It's really...
Tony Roden.
And Tony Roden, who got 300 minutes for the Grizzlies 2 years ago. Tony Roden's an NBA player, sure.
Yes. That's what I wanted you to say.
But
That's all.
You know, why not add Eric Bledsoe? Isn't that the whole point, is that you're doing all this tanking to get a player like Eric Bledsoe? Aren't you hoping that Nerlens Noel turns into a player who can make the kind of impact Eric Bledsoe does?
Well, and there's the exciting brand of tanking they were doing in the first half of last year, and then there's just the deplorable.
Eric Bledsoe might average 30-10-10 for the Sixers if that happened.
That'd be nice.
It's sad it's not going to. It would be best for, I think, Phoenix. It would be good for them. You know, it would free Isaiah Thomas, which is what everybody wants, but he's just going to go back to Phoenix. Everything's stupid.
I like that you are so adamant about this, though. I hadn't really thought about it as an actual thing, but I mean, they are the only team that could actually sign
him. I think Atlanta, with a little bit of maneuvering, could get there.
Yeah,
and that would an Eric Bledsoe. If the Suns had any leverage in trades, Eric Bledsoe for Paul Millsap would be awesome.
Yeah, that's true. That would be an excellent deal.
But they have leverage with Bledsoe coming back. They have no leverage to trade him. But that would be Millsap to Phoenix and Bledsoe in Atlanta. Those would both be great moves. They're not going to get anything for him.
No, it's frustrating to watch this kind of stuff just play out and just wait along, and then eventually what we all thought was going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. Plus, Chris is talking about on Twitter would be huge for Isaiah Thomas's stock and just his confidence to finally be able. Okay, I'm here. I've arrived. But no, there's probably going to be another guard in the mix.
And, man, Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic playing together would be a lot of fun. That'd be the fastest backcourt in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seems like it's just going to end up – it's kind of karmic retribution for the Suns, I think, because they were the ones that signed Eric Gordon, and Eric Gordon was mad about not getting to go to Phoenix. And now Eric Bledsoe's mad that he doesn't get to leave Phoenix.
Let's talk about Brook Lopez. Lost significant portion of the season last year, most of the season, but now he's down 15 pounds, guys.
Yeah, but what is that for Brooke Lopez? It's like
his thumb looks skinnier.
It's about 5%. Yeah, he's a 300 pounder.
Right.
It's not nothing.
Right. Anything helps
for someone who's had three foot surgeries, three of the same injury, I think, too. Because I think what it was he broke his foot, came back, broke the screw that was in his broken foot.
Oh, that's,
and then left.
Tough.
And then 2 years later, broke the foot again. So
better screw in there. Come on.
Yeah, adamantium.
I don't know.
It's the Wolverine thing.
Yeah, it's from X-Men. Don't worry about it.
Oh, sorry.
Brook Lopez would appreciate that.
But that it would be great if we could see him for all season because, I mean, he's pretty unique.
Where are you guys touching Brook Lopez this year? What round?
I don't know.
Is he going to be...
He's a third-round talent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but are you going to draft him in the third round?
No.
Or are you going to wait? Would you pick him up? Six, I was going to say.
I think there's, in the first five, six rounds, there's like a handful, maybe two spots on your team can be these like injury question marks. Because there are a lot of them out there, just inevitably. There's a lot of talented players that are a risk. So whether it's Rondo, Darren Williams, a little bit of a risk, but you can probably get him later. So you got to just kind of measure it like, okay, if I get Brook Lopez, I can't probably get Dwayne Wade or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about another guy who I'm going to be very interested to see where Derrick Rose starts going in drafts. He is experiencing a little soreness. I don't know. Is it much to worry about here? It doesn't seem soreness never really is a huge cause for concern, but I guess with Derrick Rose,
anything is a huge cause for concern with Derrick Rose.
But I think it's just the up and so like every vine we see of him doing a crazy dunk, it's like, oh, Derrick Rose is back, and then it's like, oh, but he's not like, feeling great. It's like, oh my God, it's the end of the
Derrick
world.
Rose is dead.
Like, it's so many extremes. Let's just, you know, let's just give him a moment here.
I'm starting to think he shouldn't even be on Team USA. Like, if he can't play in one game and practice without missing the next two games. Why not just wait until the regular season? Like, I want to see him play at a high level with Team USA, and I want to see that happen, but I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's even going to play in every game this
time. Well, I guess the only argument for that is that, well, maybe he can work out the cobwebs now and get so he doesn't have to work them out during the regular season as much and, you know.
Yeah, granted, but it's not like he doesn't have eight preseason games to do that.
Yeah, and it's eight preseason games
over the course of, you know, 3.5-4 weeks rather than, you know, what is the tournament? 8 games in 2 weeks, something like that.
Right.
So it's a bit more of a compressed schedule. It doesn't seem like he's even going to be able to, if he's taking time off already now, are you concerned that's going to be the case in the regular season?
No, cause I think they're more cautious cause they know that they have so many guards, like, you know, it was like, oh, guess we'll rely on Kyrie Irving. Cause you know, we don't want to risk it with Derrick Rose. I just think that that's more the case. The team is deep. Not so much Derrick Rose is sensitive.
Right. I think, yeah, it's probably a situation where it's like soreness that wouldn't even be reported during the regular season. It would just be like, hey, you know, that's what it normally would be with Derrick Rose and any NBA player, really. But
it's, all right, here's my question.
Yeah,
he's supposed to play Friday against Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play in that game, if it keeps happening, if it's keeping, you know, 5 days off in a row then, at what point do you start getting concerned?
I'm not. It's not going
to... If they keep saying we expect him to... Because that was... He missed the first game against... I don't even know who it was. Brazil. He missed that game. And then it was like, well, he's going to be playing in the next one. And then the next one comes around. He's not playing against Dominican Republic. At what point...
Well, I guess maybe my concern will... I'm always going to be concerned about Derrick Rose. It's not... There's never going to be a situation until maybe next year, maybe the year after, where it's... I'm going to feel like really comfortable drafting him, but it maybe it'll heighten a little bit more, but I mean, I already have like my guard up a little bit.
Right. It depends on how high you are on going into the season. So if you were like, I'm getting Rose, you know, beginning of the second round, then you'd probably pump the brakes a little bit.
Where are you guys targeting him? I'm thinking if he's there in the third round, maybe towards the end of, I think late third.
It depends how my draft shook out.
Yeah.
If I got a point guard with one of my first two, I'll probably pass on him no matter what.
It's just point guard so deep.
That's why
don't we just, you know, get a guy who we're not worried about?
I could see packaging him maybe with two point guards and like the third turn of the fourth, maybe get a late third round pick, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can get a safe one with him to kind of be a security, because there's, I mean, the upside's there.
Like Derrick Rose in late third, Kemba Walker early fourth.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kemba guy, so.
Mm-hmm. I might be a little, but maybe like Rose and Dragic.
I was thinking, I didn't think Dragic would be around the early.
Yeah.
But maybe he would. That would be something I would be confident in. Anyway, let's move to the Heat. Looking into free agents, guys.
Yeah. Mecca Okafor. We don't even really know like what the deal is with him, but
yeah, I can't even remember the last update we got on his you know, he missed the whole game with, what, a herniated disc in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but they looked into Chris Douglas, Roberts, and some guys that have had some fantasy value. And I actually think if Chris Douglas Roberts signed in Miami, he could end up being a decent sleeper if Dwayne Wade goes down.
Yeah.
Chris Douglas Roberts was reasonably solid contributor for the Bobcats last year.
And he's a shooting guard. We just, like, where are the shooting guards in the NBA?
There's not.
Where are the shooting guards on the Heat roster?
Yeah. Chalmers.
Speaking of shooting guards, Eric Gordon, supposedly healthy.
Today.
Yeah. Talk to me 2 weeks from now or tomorrow. Ryan Anderson running and shooting.
That's good news.
Very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really scary injury.
And we're very big Ryan Anderson proponents here.
Yes.
And we'd love to see him healthy and being a viable fantasy contributor.
What's the earliest you take him? He's a guy with a huge injury risk.
I'm later on Ryan Anderson. Probably, I think maybe...
I mean, he'll get like 3 extra rounds in a categories league.
He was the last pick in the 6th round in the mock draft Joe did last week.
I was going to say 7th round is whenever I would start to look at him.
Okay.
But we're looking at, so with him, they got Oshik. And last year it was like, cool, Anthony Davis is going to play center. He's going to have a stretch 4. They're going to be bad, but they're going to put up awesome empty numbers. Now it's like, all right, they're tightening the defense. Anderson's going to be kind of coming off the bench. Like, are we looking at a completely different scenario here?
I think if anything, he's going to be more of a focal point because he's going to come in with second units. He's not going to have to, because he was playing with units that I think it was Jrue Holiday, Eric Gordon, Tyreke Evans, Ryan Anderson, and Anthony Davis. It's a lot of good offensive
talent,
players,
yeah.
But it's also a lot of shots to go around with only one ball. And it's not like the Pelicans under Monty Williams play at a crazy breakneck pace either. So I think Ryan Anderson playing the 6-man role is actually a pretty good thing.
Cool.
Let's talk about the rookies, gentlemen. So Chris has broken them down into a few tiers here. There's one tier for the top rookie, Jabari Parker, and then there's other tiers here. Starting material, searching for a role, borderline options, and then the reserves and the keeper league only guys. So a tier of their own, Jabari Parker. I don't think we need to touch a whole lot about him because hey, Jabari Parker is going to be the best fantasy rookie. It seems pretty certain, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's so good that it's hard to see any.
He has such a clear path to being a good fantasy contributor. It's like there's very little imagination that has to go into him being.
The only thing that worries me a little bit is that weird Bucks depth chart, but I just think he's going to be so good and so. He's such a value. He's the only valuable asset they really have. So I think it's really going to be a focus for them.
I mean, interesting. The one thing I want to watch for Jabari is his percentages, because I feel like his 3-point percentages are going to suffer because of the NBA 3-point line. I know he wasn't a particularly great 3-point shooter in college.
Yeah.
His shot is crazy, too. He like jumps as high as he can and like hangs in the air like Tracy McGrady. So I don't know if being farther back is going to affect that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be terribly efficient. Well, I think he'll get to the free throw line a lot, which will help his efficiency. But
yeah,
I just think he's going to get so many shots. I think that's the best thing about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to be mini Carmelo, like we've been saying.
Starting material, guys. Andrew Wiggins, Nerlens Noel, Elfrid Payton.
Yeah.
Very happy about Nerlens.
I'm very happy that you put Nerlens in the starting material.
I actually did bump up his projection the
other day. Yeah, I was going to say.
I looked at it because that team has nobody.
Yeah.
I think Flango's constant rooting has helped change your perception of him a
little bit. He's not quite the 25 and 15 player you think he's going to be.
But he's closer to the 30 and 20 though, right?
I have him at about like 10 points, 9 rebounds. And I said in the column, he could lead the league in blocks and steals combined.
Yeah.
I don't really actually don't know who would even come close. Maybe
Andre
Drummond, maybe Anthony Davis, yeah. But, man, he could get – it really wouldn't shock me if he averaged 4.5
and
combined blocks and steals.
Absolutely insane is, like, I mean, he could be their best offensive player.
Yes.
Like, that's not
– We don't – we haven't really
– Exactly.
Like we haven't really seen anything – like, you can't
– he could literally – like, that –
He could be the not worst
He could literally be anything. Like, that's kind of what you're saying there is – He could be their best offensive player, but that's just
He could just be running. I mean, he'll be filling the lanes on transition all day.
Oh yeah, he's just gonna run the rim. He's just gonna he's gonna catch the rebound, pass it to Michael Carter Williams, and just sprint back to the other rim.
Well, that's what I mean. Is I'm sure that Noel is like the special player, but I'm not as sure about Michael Carter Williams. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like if that makes itself apparent right away, maybe he's much more of a focal point on offense than people would think.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I just think it's gonna be more.
Garbage.
Offensive rebounds, ducking in when Michael Carter Williams drives, because Carter Williams can get to the rim pretty well.
We don't even know how well Michael Carter Williams can throw alley oops because the Sixers don't have anybody that can actually finish an alley-oop.
I mean, they had
Spencer Hawes, really?
Yeah,
got to throw it down.
Alley-oop it to the 3-point line, please. That's where I'll
be. Yeah, I mean, we really don't know anything about anybody on the Sixers because we don't know who's going to play for the Sixers. Do you guys realize KJ McDaniels hasn't signed a rookie contract yet?
What are they waiting for? Hinkie's lost. He's so many rookies to sign and worry about.
Yeah, he was a second rounder, so they could not sign him. But that seems crazy.
Don't worry.
They signed Jordan McRae, who was like the 58th pick, but they haven't signed him.
Don't question Hinkie.
What about Kiwi Gardner going to make the squad?
James Nunnally.
Yeah. So
I think before we leave, we should have one more game of Sixer or. Completely made up name.
Oh, maybe.
Casper Ware.
The Casper Ware is absolutely going
to
be on the team.
But Nerlens Noel, yeah, he could come really. He could. I think he's the most likely to average a double double for the rookies.
Yeah, definitely.
Good
call. He'll be there in rebounds. Almost. I think he'll be close in rebounds because somebody's going to have to rebound on that team. That's kind of that's the company line for the Sixers.
Somebody's
going to have
to
do this.
Somebody's going to have to stop the guys that are running free to the rim.
That kind of
sucks. Might average 6 blocks per game just because of how many guys they get to the rim.
There's the same logic can be applied to Elfrid Payton, though. Like, somebody's going to have to play point guard for the Orlando Magic.
That one scares me, though, because I feel like Noel, you know, at his worst, he's going to be 10-10.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Well, Noel at his worst gets hurt again.
Well, come on, Chris.
But it's not like saying that, like, Andrew Wiggins could get hurt. Anybody could get hurt. No, it's actually like we have, you know, he couldn't stay healthy in the summer league either. And whether you think that was just precautions, he was getting banged up pretty much every game. He was leaving every game with ankle injuries.
They're going to teach him how to play that Sixers don't try to win finesse style. He's going to be fine. But Elfrid Payton is kind of a scary prospect because, like, they have, like you said, nobody else really. But what kind of track record does he really have to say, I'm a starting fantasy point guard?
They just don't have any other point guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the other point guard on their roster,
Victor
I guess,
Oliva.
Is Evan Fournier.
How do you think his season will compare to Michael Carter Williams of last season?
Oh, he's not going to have the volume.
No, I don't think it's going to be close, really.
Yeah, no. I mean, Carter Williams, the best thing you could say about him was he got a lot of shots.
Yep.
But he did, I mean, 3 steals almost.
He had like almost 6 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
Even close, I want to say at least a block a game too.
He led all rookies in rebounds and assists per game and scoring. He's not going to be that good. But Elfrid Payton's going to get, he's going to do a couple of things really well, I think. He's going to get a lot of steals. He's going to get to the free throw line a ton. He's not going to make his free throws, which is a little worrying for a point guard.
Yeah.
But
free throw attempts, you're golden.
He's going to get there a lot. And
see, that
team doesn't really have anybody who can pass.
But it's just confusing to me because you'd think, okay, he's athletic. He's going to do everything. So if he gets steals and all that, you're like, okay, Roto League. But if his efficiency is not there, you're like Standard League. But if, I don't know, if he doesn't have anyone to pass to, where does the assist come from?
This really could be the worst offense in the league.
Yeah. So he's going to have a lot of the burden placed on him, I think.
Yeah, I am a little concerned about Elfrid Payton. Just because it comes back to the shooting ability. And if he can not, you know, because there's a point where him being on the floor, like that shooting is going to be a liability.
Yeah.
Or like, and people are just not going to guard him. And that offense, like we just said, they can't really afford to have 5 guys guarding 4 people on offense because they are already bad.
I just. At that point, it's like, well, we can't play Elfrid Payton, but we're going to play Aaron Gordon. Or we're going to play Tobias Harris, who doesn't have to be guarded at the 3-point line. Like at some point, you're just going to have to say, these are our guys.
Yeah.
This is the style we're going to play. They're going to get out and transition. And I think he's going to be good at that.
Definitely.
And it's just, who else is going to play point guard? Evan Fournier and Ben Gordon? No.
I think Luke Ridnour is on the squad.
Oh, that's right. Luke Ridnour.
Yeah.
Luke Ridnour, who...
hating on Luke Ridnour?
Who's basically just a spot-up shooter who can't really shoot at this point. I think he shot like 35% the last three seasons from three.
Peyton could be competing with him there.
Yes.
But I just look at like Trey Burke, who coming out of college, I mean, you kind of assumed he was like he could make shots, but he kind of struggled because...
I mean, Trey Burke also averaged 12 points and 6 assists per game last
year. Oh, no. And I think that's... That'd be a good mark for Peyton.
I think that's pretty much what I have him for. A little lower in both, but I just think he's going to get as many chances as he wants. I do have him as the last one in the starting material tier.
Okay. Fair enough.
But that kind of worries me because Trey Burke was a good college shooter.
Yeah.
Like, he shot well in college. So,
with the ball in his hands.
Yes, and he did not shoot well in the
pros. I don't think Trey Burke's as strong as Peyton. So I think big problem with Trey Burke was finishing.
He's smaller.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be as big a problem for Peyton.
I'll tell you what, the more minutes Channing Frye plays, better for this guy. Because
right.
If you saw one thing in the summer league, he can finish at the rim. He'll only be shooting one free throw a lot of the times, it seems like. So give Frye some minutes.
Andrew Wiggins is the top one in the starting material. The only question about him is whether he starts off the bench behind Corey Brewer. Even if he does, I don't think it's going to be that long. I think it's going to be
Do you think they're going to have him at small forward versus shooting guard?
Either way, he'll probably come off the bench to start, right? Yeah. Probably behind Kevin Martin or Corey Brewer, at least to start.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't think it's going to be.
It's not going to be a long term thing. He'll be in the starting lineup before long.
Think starting lineup by January 1st.
Yeah.
By
that's
Christmas?
that's two full months. Yeah, I think he'll be in there.
Let's go to searching for a role, guys. I find these guys.
This is a very interesting tier.
Very interesting tier here. Julius Randle is the top guy, followed by Marcus Smart, Nick Stauskas, and Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Julius Randle, we are unhappy about his situation.
Yeah, we have actual tiers. You know.
Yes, we have literal tiers for Randle.
Right.
I'm leaving. I made that joke last time
we did this, I think. You did, but we didn't get it in time.
Julius Randle, we were so excited about on draft night.
Right.
We were in here at like midnight.
Like, man,
on draft
Lakers
night.
Are going to... Feed him the ball.
Absolutely.
He's going to get as many shots as he wants. And then they
totally
signed,
not going to play with Carlos Boozer.
And then they gave Jordan Hill $9 million. And then they signed Ed Davis. And then they added Carlos Boozer.
So they got like a bunch of 6'8", 6'9", type center power forward people.
Why?
I don't know. It does not make any sense.
Because the Black Mamba does not rebuild.
No.
He reloads.
So, I mean, are we just... Like, not hoping, but sort of hoping that one of them either sucks or gets injured.
Like, I mean, I'm definitely not hoping any of them get injured.
No, but we can count on at least two of them sucking.
I'm not that worried. But like, it's not that big of a stretch that, like, Ed Davis isn't going to be good enough to play.
Right,
because
right. I don't think we're too worried about
it. As much as we've all loved Ed Davis and thought about his potential, he hasn't been able to get playing time anywhere he's gone. Mm-hmm. So why would this change?
There's just different reasons why each of them would play.
Would there be a situation where you think that like Jordan Hill could play center and then Julius Randle get on the floor and Carlos Boozer come off the bench? And that
I think Boozer starts until February 5th when they buy him out and he signs with the Heat.
Ah, okay.
I don't think there's any way Carlos Boozer finishes the season for a 28-win Lakers team anyway, so... Yeah, I said 28 wins.
Whoa.
And once that happens, I think Julius Randle is going to be a stud once he gets the chance. It's just – even playing with Kobe, I think he'd be fine. Even playing with Jeremy Lin, I think he'd be fine. It's just – it's not a question of who he's playing with. I think it's a question of whether he's going to get to play.
Right.
So I'm kind of envisioning like, you know, Taj Gibson is valuable in fantasy off the bench, and he's – similar, like, you know,
Taj Gibson's not, I don't think he's nearly as skilled of an offensive player though
as Randle.
No, even a 19-year-old Julius Randle I think is a more skilled offensive player than 29-year-old Taj Gibson.
I don't know, Gibson's always had kind of the moves. Like, he came into the league with moves, kind of the same way Randle is.
He averaged more per game in college than Julius Randle did.
Well, yeah, he played 4 years in college, didn't he?
No, he was a freshman.
No, he did not come out as a freshman.
Well, I'm going to check that.
We got a hot debate, but you see what I'm saying, right? Like, the people who start aren't starting because they're, you know, better stat producers than the guy who's coming off the bench. Like, Boozer is like a seniority defensive leadership, you know, air quotes, all this. Whereas Randall is like, you know, give him the ball, get out of his way. That might be better off the
bench. Yeah, I think he's another guy, like Ryan Anderson we were talking about earlier, I think he might be better served as a sixth man right now.
Yeah.
But
we were hoping the Lakers were just going to be really bad and give him the
ball.
But
the question is, whether he came off the bench or whether he was starting, it's a lot harder to envision him getting 28, 30 minutes per game right now than it was before they even signed Carlos Boozer.
So as far as drafting him, he just got bumped way down.
Especially because in a categories league, he's really only going to help you in a couple places. He's going to help you in rebounds and points, but he's not going to block shots. He's not going to get steals. He's not going to get assists.
And we don't know how efficient.
Might not be great. So.
But that's the thing about this tier is like they're kind of one move or one thing away from becoming a startable option. So next we have Marcus Smart, who I think is not getting enough credit in this rookie class. I think he's one of the most NBA ready, probably right up there with Jabari Parker in terms of
plays in the crowded backcourt.
He might have been the first pick a year ago.
Yeah, but just the crowded backcourt thing, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he could play the three in this league. You know what I mean? Like, he's just that big.
Yeah, I don't.
People see him as a point guard. I really don't. And when you look at, I don't know, the fact that Avery Bradley is like point guard size, he's going to play shooting guard.
Yeah.
They got a weird team.
I agree. They definitely have a weird team. I just don't see. I just find it hard to see him playing. And like, maybe they play a three guard lineup like that.
I think for stretches they could, for sure.
But I don't think it's going to be stretches that are going to be long enough to make Marcus Smart particularly relevant.
Well, it'll be like the Suns. The Suns are going to play some three guard lineups, but not very often.
But the thing is, I think Rondo, something has to give where they trade their young assets to build around Rondo, or they trade Rondo out. Because, I mean, you have a pass first point guard in his prime after a surgery. Like, there's no way you can keep this young, raw team around him and, like, build around him. You
especially
know what I mean?
And the team that's around him just doesn't fit. Like, no. It just doesn't fit his skill set. Because if you have Rajon Rondo, you need to surround him with guys that can shoot, and they don't really have anybody that can shoot.
They have Evan Turner.
That's right. They did sign Evan Turner. But that even complicates things further for Marcus Smart, because you figured Marcus Smart, in a worst case scenario, might have been the six man energy, spark plug offensively off the bench, but that might be Evan Turner.
You just use energy and spark plug with Evan Turner?
Well, I think as far as a primary scoring option off the bench.
He is a savvier scorer than most, I'll give him
that. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's a particularly good scorer either.
Remember those batteries that you had? You could like press down and you can see how much like power they had in the batteries. Evan Turner's not very happy.
He's kind of sleepy, yeah. But man, if Marcus Smart, I disagree with you that he's not a point guard. I think he can. I also think Eric Bledsoe's a point guard.
I'm not saying that he can't play point guard in today's positionless NBA. I think he just has more potential, like, off the ball.
I think he's got more potential as a fantasy option with the ball in his hands. And that's why I'm hoping. I don't think Avery Bradley's going anywhere. I don't think anybody in their right mind is going to trade for 4 years and $32 million of Avery Bradley once he's eligible to be traded in December.
So what if they choose a trade built around Rondo, then Marcus Smart's going to be the guy out.
Yeah.
Presumably. Because I just don't think there's any way Avery Bradley moves now. I think it's just like Jeff Green. They kind of bid against themselves and locked themselves into this mediocre player on a big contract. So I think it's going to be either Rondo or Smart. And if Rondo's not traded this year, I don't think Smart gets traded. I think if Smart gets traded, it probably comes in the offseason.
All right, let's move on. First, I want to point out how incredibly wrong I was that – He
played 3 years in college and was 21 in his freshman season. He was drafted as a 24-year-old.
Okay, yes. But my point being is that not only was I wrong about that, but Julius Randle averaged more points per head. So I just wanted to point out how incredibly.
But Taj Gibson, I remember when he first came in the league, he did have some post moves. He could pump fake and
he averaged 14.3 and Julius Randle averaged 15. So
yeah.
It's not a huge difference except that Taj Gibson was 23 playing against 18-year-olds. Yeah, Julius Randle's 18. I mean, you know, it's a pretty big difference.
Julius Randle doesn't look like he's 18, so.
Taj Gibson was almost old enough to buy a car.
He averaged 12 points per game as a rookie, so. Yeah. Or as a freshman, so. Anyway, let's move to Nick Stauskas, who could, presumably, there's a chance that he could be the starting shooting guard for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. I mean, that's a.
I mean, it's not that
crazy. It's a long fall for Ben McLemore from being, you know, talked about as a potential number one pick last year, but.
It could be. I mean,
he was really bad.
Yeah, not great.
And there it wasn't like he started off bad. It wasn't like Cody Zeller, who started off bad and was a lot better in the second half. He was just bad.
There's just no value of starting Ben McLemore next to Rudy Gay, doesn't seem, right? Like,
yeah.
They're kind of, I don't know, Rudy Gay does the things that you would kind of want McLemore to do. Like, I guess he's an okay three-point shooter, but...
Presumably, he shot 32%.
Stauskas is going to be better.
Yeah, I mean, McLemore was lights out in college, but he shot 32% as a rookie, so...
That extra foot.
There's really no, and just the fact that nobody in Sacramento really has to guard, like, yeah, whoever the power forward was, and you're not really worried about anybody else on the floor from 3-point range.
And I think Stauskas is ball handling, and you know he's probably an okay passer just because he's definitely an underrated
ball handler.
Right, and so with Darren Collison being their starting point guard now, I think they're going to be looking for a little more help in terms of dribbling, getting the ball into the places that it needs to be.
That's one thing. Darren Collison, the Kings were talking about him as if he was a shoot or a pass first point guard. He's
What are they watching?
But he's not as high usage of a player as Isaiah Thomas. You know, Isaiah Thomas was like a 26, 27% usage player. Darren Collison, I don't think, has been above 20% the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
I mean, he averaged 6 assists, like, when Chris Paul was out, but on that Clippers team, like, is it really that hard? I mean...
Yeah, well, my point is just that he's not going to have the ball in his hands as much as Isaiah Thomas did, so there will be opportunities for a secondary ball handler, and I don't think it's Rudy Gay. I don't think it's DeMarcus Cousins, and I don't think it's Jason Thompson or Derek Williams, so it could be Stauskas.
So these first three tiers, there's 8 guys in the first 3 tiers. All 8, I think, in most drafts are probably going to be drafted, right?
Yeah.
And,
well, I don't know about LaVine.
Yeah, the last one in Searching for a Role is Zach LaVine.
Yeah, that's the thing. With
stock took a major hit once the Wiggins.
Yeah, I think him, it's more maybe at the trade deadline, the Timberwolves are able to unload Kevin Martin and Corey Brewer, and he kind of steps into like a Clay Thompson in his rookie season role.
I just yearn for the days where Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins are running the floor together.
Oh, that's going to be a nightly
with Rick Rubio.
No, it's going to be so much fun.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Zach LaVine doesn't play for the first 3 months of the season.
But then right. Flip Saunders tells them to slow down and wait for Pekovic.
Yes.
Wait for Pekovic.
Nick's coming. The next two guys, though... I think it's going to be a very wait and see. Like, we have no idea what the hell is going to happen with these guys. So Dante Exum, Aaron Gordon, 2 borderline options in your tier there.
Yep.
It's not a whole lot to say because I don't think we really know.
I mean, we definitely don't know anything about Dante Exum.
They're both sick athletes. That's what we do know.
The one thing I know about Dante Exum is there's not a lot of shots to go around already in Utah. They only have like 5 other good players, but... They're all pretty solid young players that they're going
to
build around.
Good enough to take shots.
It's not like Alec Burks is going to get buried because of Dante Exum. Alec Burks is a really good player.
Yeah, Dante Exum is going to have to do some really special things, you know, like without the ball, doing the little things that coaches love. That's how he's going to earn some
playing
time.
And it's possible that he starts off as the starter at shooting guard. I think that's a possibility, but I still think he's going to be... He's probably going to finish 6th on the team in minutes played at best.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Gordon, that Orlando front court is really weird.
Yep.
That's one thing is that he does certain things that other guys can't do. He's a better passer than Tobias Harris. He's a better passer than Channing Frye. He's a better player than, you know, Maurice Harkless or Andrew Nicholson or Kyle Quinn. But that's a lot of guys that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
And Kyle Quinn's the only one that can really play center. And that's a lot of guys that are going to have to find minutes between the small forward and power forward spots.
Yeah, his best bet for playing time is nailing down that small forward spot, saying, I can guard small forwards. You know, I'll guard.
Yeah,
I'll try and guard LeBron.
Orlando has zero interest in Maurice Harkless actually playing.
I mean, he shot 39% somehow from 3-point range last season,
yeah,
but his playing time was so inconsistent.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, I was like, fine, we'll put Mo in.
And he was decent the second half of his rookie season. He really took a big step forward and just really didn't even stagnate. He took a step back as a sophomore.
So these two guys you have in the borderline options.
I would take them in the late rounds.
But also, once you take them, they're like more droppable.
Yeah.
They're maybe closer to being relevant than the Searching for a Role guys, but they're probably less stashable.
Yeah, I definitely – the point with these guys being in a different tier than the Randall and Smart is Randall and Smart are probably going to be better, but not right away. Like, you know pretty much Exum and Gordon are probably going to be the same player for most of the year.
Gotcha.
Whereas Randle and Smart and Stauskas and even Levine have a chance to step into a larger role than what they might have down the road.
Some great names in this rookie class, right?
No, absolutely.
Like Smart and Levine and Exum. Sounds cool.
So let's look at the reserves here. Not going to talk about all the names.
No.
Again, you can read this on the website. But a couple of names that I think are interesting. Doug McDermott is a guy who, fantasy-wise, has all sorts of scoring potential. And it just happens that he's buried right now in the depth chart a little bit. Maybe he'll be able to get some, because they need people that can shoot on that team still.
He looks like a real shooter.
Yeah. He looks, there's no bones about it. He's an excellent, excellent shooter. Probably the best,
best shooter on their team.
I was going to say of the rookie class, him and Nick Stauskas.
He's best shooter on their team,
I think Mirotic could give him a run.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, okay.
I don't think so.
I've seen him play for 5 minutes in person. I think he can give him a run.
It's just hard to see him getting playing. I mean, he's going to be, best case scenario, the fourth big man in the rotation, or he splits some time at small forward with Mike Dunleavy.
Yep. KJ McDaniels.
He's on the Sixers.
You are on the Sixers 15-man roster.
Well, technically, is he on the Sixers yet?
No, he is not. He has not signed a contract.
TJ Warren's another guy.
He just don't see a role.
The three games that PJ Tucker's out, seize your opportunity. Yeah. TJ Warren.
The thing with TJ Warren is I think he might be better suited in their offense playing power forward.
Mm-hmm.
He's
not big enough to play
power
forward.
They have twins that do that already.
Is Marcus Morris?
They play tiny.
That much bigger.
Yeah, he's
big. They play really. Markieff Morris played center last year for pretty big stretches.
Yeah, they're like, what, 6'9", 6'10", though?
6'8", 6'9".
Well,
that's an inch difference.
Well, he's like 6'6", 6'7".
I think Flango's trying to say TJ Warren is basically small forward size, like actual small forward size.
I just think the biggest problem with him is I just, when I watch him, I think he plays more like a modern small ball four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a three-point shooter, but I just don't. I don't really think you can get away with him playing that much small forward. Oh, I guess, you know, he might be able to develop into the PJ Tucker corner.
I was going to say, it's not like the guy they have is lighting it up. He just hustles and plays defense, and he's like kind of older than everyone else. That's why he plays.
I think Warren's skill set.
I know a lot about PJ Tucker.
Warren's a little, he's a little redundant.
I just love that he's older than
everybody. That seriously gets you in the game in the NBA. I'm old. They're like, go ahead.
Okay.
Especially if the Suns hire Scott Brooks when he gets fired.
It's called grit.
But that's the problem with a lot of these guys. You look at like Rodney Hood, Adrian Payne, James Young, all these guys on this list. It's just that they have the ability, I think. It just doesn't look like they're going to get the role in the minutes.
Shabazz Napier might be the most talented third point guard in the league. Well, no, the Suns. But you know what I'm saying.
Let's look at some of the keeper league only guys. Joel Embiid. In keeper leagues, it's interesting. I'm really curious to see how people draft him in any sort of keeper leagues because, I mean, the way everybody's talking about him, it makes him seem like, you know, he should be drafted.
Second coming of Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right, so I don't know. I'm interested to see if anybody will take him.
I think you take a flyer on him late for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, is it worth drafting Joel Embiid over Aaron Gordon in a keeper league?
No.
I don't know. What if?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, what are you going to, are you going to get a borderline Aaron Gordon for this year? And he's kind of, you know, maybe occasionally streamable this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, Joel Embiid could presumably, like, would it be unreasonable to see a rookie Joel Embiid be better than a second-year Aaron Gordon?
I would think so. I wouldn't say it's inconceivable, but I just, it's such a risk. You know,
and you got to sit on him all year. Like that's, I don't know. It sounds annoying.
It depends on how deep the keeper league is. Yeah. I'm in a keeper league that's only one bench spot, so I couldn't. There's no way I would do that.
Some like have an injury reserve spot, in which case definitely he's like the top one.
But even that, it's the two injuries that Joel Embiid has are the worst injuries for a big man. So he's still a risk even when he's healthy. And it's just that's the concern with him is that it's a foot and a back. You know, those, it's the foot now, but it was the back before. They say he checked out okay with the back, but he's already a big man who's 20. He'll be 21 when he actually plays, who's already had, you know, pretty major injuries to the two places that you don't want big men to have injuries to.
You forget that he is also the greatest big man of all time.
Yeah, so I do forget that.
There's some things you have to take into consideration there. I'm just saying that I think if you're a little more prone to taking some risks, I don't think it's crazy to take him ahead of some of the guys that may I be playing this year a little more.
I mean, yeah, give me him over Clint Capella.
For sure.
Woo! And look, he's at the top of the keeper tier. I just think it's really hard to justify, you know, much more than a late round pick, especially if it's in a keeper league where you only have 2 years. If we're talking a dynasty league, yeah, where your okay, roster yeah, rolls over,
that's what I was more thinking of, is dynasty leagues anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a dynasty where you have him for the next 5 or 6 years or however long you want him, then yeah, you can probably
okay. Let's put it in that
you
scenario,
can take though. Him over Aaron Gordon and Nick Levine and or Zach Levine and Nick Stauskas.
Okay, that's all I was saying.
But in a keeper league, like in a true, you know, 1 or 2 year keeper league, where okay. you only get him for a year or two beyond this, I don't think you could.
I was thinking more of dynasty league then. I apologize for my...
It's semantics.
Semantics there. Some of those antics.
What about Bruno?
Yeah.
Stop talking.
We don't know anything about him.
Yeah. Spencer Dinwiddie. He's a guy.
Play for?
Colorado.
Hey, good job.
Ooh. I was hoping I was right on that one. He's very good. Got hurt, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Knocked him way down draft boards in the second round. But he's very skilled, and I think he's 6'5". He can kind of play a little bit of point guard. Pistons aren't good. They have a lot of players that probably will go, you know, get more minutes than him, but I can see him being relevant at some point in the year.
You like Spencer Dinwiddie this year?
Yeah.
We've been talking him up.
You know, I don't know. He's looks like he's ready to play. Looks like a kind of guy that Stan Van Gundy would say, hey, show these, you know, jaded, inefficient other players why you deserve to play.
He wasn't a player.
His name is Josh Smith.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. He won't be playing for Josh Smith, but you know what I mean? Like I said, there's not a lot of shooting guards out there. So if you're 6'5 and you have fundamentals, well, though, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is lurking somewhere on that team. So
Summer League hero, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. All right, so that does it for the rookie tiers. We will be back next week. Recording next Wednesday, and that's gonna be it.
That is gonna be it.
For Chris Towers,
hey,
Joe Polito,
mm-hmm.
I'm Adam Flango. Thanks for downloading.